This has been an awesome series, simply because of the videos. And it would be wonderful if we could just have everyone's Jesus story on a DVD or something. And that means your story on a DVD, so that we could all reflect on how Jesus is working in each and every one of our lives. Because I really sincerely believe you have a story to tell. A Jesus story to tell if you know Jesus. A story that needs to be told. In fact, I think that each person here has a person waiting. A person waiting to hear your story. Not my story, not Pastor Darren's story, not even Skip's story, but your story. And we're going to look at, in a very practical way, how important it is for you to be able to share your story. From the text in the book of Acts that Connie just read, we hear the Apostle Paul's story. What's interesting about the Apostle Paul, this is not his first time in the book of Acts telling the story. This is not his second time. This is his third time in which he's telling his Jesus story. It seems like every time that the Apostle Paul finds himself in a tough situation, you know what he reverts to? Telling his Jesus story. Because it goes all the way back to that moment in time in which he meets Jesus. And so we're going to look at a good Jesus story. A good Jesus story is one in which Jesus is glorified. But we're going to be very practical here, and my goal is that everybody here at the end of this day will take some time this week to write out a Jesus story. It might be your testimony. It might be a moment in which you just reflect on how Jesus has worked or moved or kind of caused some growth in your life. But I want to encourage everyone here to take some time to reflect and write a Jesus story. And then I want you to sit down over a cup of coffee and share your story. Share your story with another person here. Get used to the aspect of telling your story. So what makes for a good Jesus story? A good Jesus story talks about really three parts. The part before you knew Jesus, or the early stages of your walk with Jesus. That moment in which you came to Jesus or really understood Jesus. And then what is Jesus doing right now in your life? And what might he be calling you to do in the future? Step one, and I'm saying this is super practical. Step one is trust and pray that God can use your Jesus story. I've heard it said by far too many Christians that, oh, my story is boring. I don't really have anything to say. It's not interesting. I think we need to trust that our story is interesting and that God could use my story. And it might be my story that causes a person to come to know Christ. Not someone's dramatic story, my story. We must remember that the Holy Spirit lives in us and is working to help us communicate what Jesus is doing in our lives. There is a person who needs to hear your story, Mike. Not my story, not Seth's story, not Sherry's story, but your story, Mike. Because they're going to relate to your story better than any other story. And God's going to use you. Step two is our past and or before we knew Jesus. In the 27 plus years of ministry, I have learned that there really are two types of Jesus stories that people have. There's the group A people. I grew up in the church and knew Jesus as early as I can remember, which is some of us here. But then there's the group B type of people that I came to know Jesus at this specific point in my life. The group A people tend to think that their story isn't very exciting and they don't have much to share. This is what I want to say to the group A people. First, isn't this the kind of story you want for your children and grandchildren? This is what we pray the moment they're born, is that they will know Jesus right away and that they will follow Jesus all their life. And so this is the kind of testimony or story we hope people will have. The other thing I want to say is this. Your story, Group A people, is special because it has moments of growth and understanding about your faith that need to be told also. It may have been a special moment that solidified your understanding of Christ. Maybe it was during VBS or at Bible camp. Maybe it was a special person, for example, a Sunday school teacher, or someone came to the church and spoke about their mission work that really sparked a desire in you to follow Jesus more. I think it's important for our own faith to identify those moments and then to articulate them so other people can hear how Jesus is working in your life. You know, when I thought about that, and this is actually my before moment, before I knew Jesus moment, but I thought of some of the special moments in my life in which I really felt connected to Jesus. I remember in third or fourth grade when the Christmas program was taking place. And I remember sitting in the pew singing Joy to the World. And I can think of that time in which that was the first real moment in which I felt like Jesus was real. I didn't come to faith in Jesus at that moment, but it was like something was happening that I could not explain. I felt like I was, in a sense, singing Joy to the World, not with just human beings, but with like some divine, angelic choir. It was a special moment, and I still hold on to that moment 40-plus years later. You have those stories in which Jesus impressed upon you that he was real. Those should be shared. The group B people, I want to talk about that too, and Skip did a good job kind of talking about the very things I'm talking about. But these individuals, it's maybe easier for them to talk about their Jesus moment, that coming to Jesus moment, because that was the time when they didn't know Jesus, and then they believed in Jesus. There was like the light switch went on. It was one of those moments when they were 1 minute destined to hell, and the next moment they believed in Jesus, and they knew they were forgiven, and they had the hope of eternal life. These people, their testimonies tend to be the ones that get highlighted. Maybe it's because they did something radically wrong and then all of a sudden they're a believer in Jesus. But they have some shortfalls that they have to be careful about too. I remember when I went to Bible camp, one of the counselors named Jeff told his story about coming to Christ. He was a soldier in Vietnam, and he told all us the bad things he did, and then he ended his testimony by saying, "And then I believed in Jesus. All I really remember is all the terrible things he did." And so one of the things I warn Group B people is don't glorify or overstate all the terrible things you did. Make sure you emphasize God's grace and how God really transformed and changed your life. The other thing that I warn Group B people about is this. Don't mention churches or people in negative lights. You know, don't say, well, that church that I went to, I never learned about Jesus. Because what you're doing is, if that person has any connection whatsoever to that denomination or church, and you say it in a negative light, the walls go up, and they don't want to hear another thing you have to say. The truth actually is you might not understand this, but God probably used that church, that denomination, that person in a subtle way to plant seeds in your life. You might not have come to complete total faith, but God was using the teaching to help you come to faith in Christ at a later time. For me, I when I talk about different stories, and I try to use it in the context of the individual I'm talking to, and yes, I have the privilege of maybe some experience in this area. One area I thought of, one little story is, I remember in middle school, this was before Christ, that I wanted to be really cool and fit in with everyone, and one of the things that I thought you had to do to prove that you were really cool was to swear a lot and use really bad language, and that made me tough. And I also remember in middle school that the one thing that I dreaded more than anything was going to church, going to confirmation, and how long the service would be, and how long that pastor could preach. All I really hoped was to go through confirmation, get done with confirmation, and leave the church. That was until I met Jesus. And then things changed dramatically. I would have never thought I would have been a pastor. The step three part of the story is that moment of coming to Jesus, that moment in which you fully understand what Jesus did by dying on the cross. That moment in which you, by faith, choose to receive the grace that is available through Christ. For us in the Group B category, we probably need to talk about that moment in a very clear fashion. For those in the Group A, I would say concentrate on talking about those special moments, that incremental moments in which you grew to further grasp and understand Jesus and salvation. For me, I share the story about my teacher friend, Mr. Nelson, who invited my friend Tim Lemons to work on the farm, and where we did all kinds of activities, from haying, shearing sheep, planting trees, cutting heads off chickens, and how we had such a great time on the farm. And then when there were breaks, we would go canoeing and hiking in the woods and do all kinds of fun things. But every Sunday, we would go to church. And those times we went to church, it wasn't as bad as when I was at my home church, but it was still good for some reason. And then one night when we were going to bed, my friend Tim was reading his Bible, and I was reading the latest football magazine. And I actually was kind of like, that's kind of cool, he's reading the Bible, but I wasn't going to let Tim know. And so I said, Tim, why are you wasting your time reading that book with a bunch of names you can't even pronounce and things you can't understand? And Tim shared about how he, at camp the summer before, had prayed to receive Christ. And I remember that night going to bed and saying a simple prayer. It was something like this: God, if what Tim has is true, then I want it too. And that was the moment. That was my Jesus, coming to Jesus moment, in which I came to faith in him and my life began to change. Which leads us to step four. How is Jesus working in our lives today? Or, as we'll talk about a little bit later, where is Jesus leading me now?
Now, this can be a wide variety of things. I may share how Christ is presently working in my life and what I'm learning. It might be because of the personal struggles or things that I'm dealing with that are causing growth in my life. It may be some of the victories that I've experienced because of knowing Jesus. I would encourage you, during all of this, use Bible verses. For example, I might talk about when I was diagnosed with epilepsy and struggled with these seizures, and then because of that, I became more reliant and trusting in God. I would never want those seizures, but in a strange way, it was the thing that caused me to just hang on to Jesus in a deeper and more profound way. And then when I came across, you know, the Apostle Paul and learned more about the Apostle Paul and how he himself struggled with this thorn in the flesh, and that some theologians even thought that maybe he suffered with epilepsy because of that moment in which he came to know Christ and there was that bright light, and that may have triggered seizures in his life. I could really relate to that. And then I came across 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, and this kind of became this way I explained my own walk with Jesus. It says in 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so, even in my weakness, I discover Jesus is real. And my relationship is strong, even though I'm weak, because Jesus is present and in the midst of the tough times. And then step five. This is where I'm talking maybe about Jesus is taking me in this direction. This is the new thing that I feel like God's calling me towards. And I may share some of my hopes and dreams that God is placing on my heart. I may share some of the areas that I hope Jesus is going to produce some change and transformation in my life. I may even share some of my prayer concerns. You know, for example, right now, I'm excited about the fact that two of our kids are getting married. Our oldest daughter, Abby, in November, and then Nehemiah is getting married next summer, which is hard to believe because it feels like he was just in high school. But as I think about that, you know, I'm thinking about the phase of life that I'm now in. You know, my kids are getting married. What does that mean for Brenda and me? I know what it means. It means that I have to trust God for my children's life and pray more fervently for them. I'm excited for them, but also marriage is hard these days, and I want what's best for my kids, and I want them to have a strong marriage, so I'm going to have to pray more fervently for them. But that's just one area in which I feel like God is calling us into the future, and all of you have that, don't you? Dale and Mary are praying for the grandchildren. They're excited about that phase of life now. And a lot of you, I've seen that in the past 5 years, that as you're entering the grandchildren phase, life is different and there's such joy. And yet, I'm sure you're very concerned that your grandchildren in this day and age will come to know Christ and live for Christ. These five steps are quite simple when it comes to learning to tell our story. I'll repeat them for you. It's trust and pray that God can use your Jesus story, because he can. Then focus on that early or before you knew Jesus story. And then the coming to Jesus story, or coming to a better understanding of Jesus. Then the growing in Jesus story, those battles that cause you to become more faithful and following him. And then my future, where I feel God is taking me and calling me. Again, I want to reiterate, your story is a story someone needs to hear. They don't need to hear my story. They need to hear your story. And you have the power, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to make a difference.
I'm going to offer just some other helpful suggestions. Your story is not a sermon or a teaching lesson, which means you're not focusing in on some deep theological or biblical truth you want to teach him. You're simply telling your story. Your story should bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, not to yourself. This is not about you. It's about him. Make it about him. Your story should not be an opportunity to criticize or attack another person or church. Your story should contain Bible verses and how they specifically work or had transformation power in your life. Your story should be prayed through for yourself and for your hearers. Your story ultimately should be practiced. Practice with someone you feel comfortable sharing it with, maybe a spouse, maybe a friend. And then I offer this help. This help. Pastor Seth and Ed and I are willing to help. To help you kind of figure out the right words. So this is the challenge. Take some time this week. Think of how Jesus has worked in your life. Write down one of those stories. If it's not the full story, just a snippet of how Jesus is working in your life and share it. Stories have power. You know, every year the Olympics, or every 4 years the Olympics come around. Don't you love the stories they share? The stories of how they had to work and go without and make all this effort, and maybe there was something dramatic in their life, but now they're in the Olympics and they're competing. I think people love to hear our stories. The same with us. But instead of Olympic gold, we're talking about Jesus Christ and the promise and hope of eternal life. So I encourage you, as we wrap up this series, we start it with, begin with prayer. We're praying for people to come to know Christ. Listen with care. Listen to the other people's stories, where God has got them right now. Even though they don't know it, they might be pre-Christians. Listen to their story without judgment. And then eat together. Sit down and share a meal. And then serve with love. There are areas to serve. And then finally, after we've done everything in the relationships with people, we earn the right to share the story. And so we have to be ready to share the story. God wants to use us to help people know Christ. He wants to use your story to help someone know Christ. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you. We thank you that you consider each and every one here worthy of being part of the grand story, the story of salvation in which people come to faith in you. And Lord, we do pray for friends and family, co-workers, fellow students, people that don't yet know Jesus. Help us to listen well, to serve well, and when given the opportunity to share our story with humility, pointing people to the Jesus that saves all people, having died on the cross and having risen from the dead. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
So we've been going through this series